you're listening to the oneofus.net podcast network. oneofus.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to oneofus.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
Hello, this is Bradley Martin with the Screener Squad here to review Jacob's Ladder. But we're not going back in time and watching an old Tim Robbins niche flick. This actually got remade. But I won't be reviewing this alone. I have here on the mic with me
Frank Colvillo. And of course it's been remade because it's, quite frankly, it's its turn now.
Yeah, they're all in line. They're all waiting to destroy our childhoods, though I suppose this shouldn't be watched by children, either version.
No, but I remember this coming out back in 1990. And yeah, I was like, oh, wow, that sounds really cool. What is Jacob's Ladder? I had no idea what, you know, Vietnam was or, you know, PTSD and this, you know, but I was like, wow, that looks like it'd be kind of cool.
No, yeah. I remember watching it years after I had seen it the first time as a kid. I watched a lot of movies as a kid that I shouldn't have seen.
Me too.
And being like, oh, the ladder's a metaphor.
Yeah, it's so funny the way things click again because I did the same thing. I watched Silence of the Lambs probably when I was 10, and I didn't get like most of it. And then watching it as a grown-up, like, oh my gosh, wow. This is so morbid, but really, like, wow. What could I have gotten out of this when I was a kid? Why did I remember liking it. It was like, what was I liking about this? I like it now, but what was I into it back then, you know?
Well, you know, it makes you feel like an adult when you watch adult movies, I guess.
True. I cried when they wouldn't let me into Terminator Judgment Day.
Oh, same. I didn't get to see that one either.
Yeah, I was 9 years old and outside the theater crying because they wouldn't sell me a ticket. Yeah, I know. Anyways, memories.
Well, this particular remake is directed and written. Oh, no, my bad. Just directed by David Rosenthal and written by Jeff Burrell, Sarah Thorpe, and looks like three more credits to the writing. Well, stars Michael Ealy and Jesse Williams of Grey's Anatomy fame and also Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah, I keep on forgetting. I mean, Jesse Williams, he's got one of those faces that just pops up, you know? And I was like, I know you from somewhere. I just don't know where. And I'm not a huge Grey's Anatomy fan, but man, gosh, that show's still on. That fan base is keeping that show alive. Sorry, I'm sidetracking a little bit. I just, every time I hear Grey's Anatomy, I'm like, man, those are some hardcore devotees that are making sure that show stays breathing.
No, absolutely. My wife's a huge fan of the Shonda Nation. I'm a fan of Shonda Rhimes just because of her brilliant success. She has a book out. I recommend it on Audible. But
what
yes,
kind of book? Is it an autobiography or is it a fiction piece? Or what
yeah,
kind of
it's
book
a, well, I'd call it somewhere in between a memoir and actual entertainment piece, you know.
Nice.
But yeah. Nice. Anyways, Jesse Williams, very beautiful man. So is Michael Ealy. And yeah, they play brothers. So, why don't you dive into the synopsis for me since I always mess those up.
Okay, so basically, yeah, like you said before, the two of them play brothers, Jacob and Isaac. Michael Ealy is Jacob. Jacob Singer, actually, who along with his brother served in Afghanistan. Jacob, of course, is in the medical side of things, being a doctor and surgeon. And unfortunately, Isaac was thought to have died during battle. We flash forward to years later, and Jacob and his lovely wife, played by insert actress name now, please.
Nicole Bear.
I don't have the page up.
No, it says her name was Nicole Bear, I believe. That's the actress.
Okay. I thought it was Megan Good.
You might be right. Uh-oh.
I don't know. I mean, no, I don't know.
The IMDb page leaves much to be desired on this.
Yeah, it kind of does. But anyhow, so the two of them are living a, you know, happy life together with a child, and he's got a good practice. But he begins to see visions, and he begins to be approached by former soldiers who are not doing so well. They are prone to paranoia and sort of schizophrenic tendencies, and he's trying to shake it all off while the visions keep on getting stronger and stronger. And much to his surprise, he encounters Isaac, who he thought was dead, but turns out is not. And once he encounters his long-lost brother, he spirals further and further downward into this sort of like mind-bending odyssey. It's tied to his time in Afghanistan and what happened after that.
Yeah, very good. Very good synopsis.
Thank you. But God, it's gonna be hard to this movie never really has a chance. I never really had a chance, I thought, in the lead up to its release, because I think the only people really that were aware of it were people who had seen the original. And I don't know anyone who saw the original that if they didn't like it, they at least had great respect for it.
Yeah.
So, man, this movie, it's a tall order for some people to sit to actually accept this movie, embrace it.
No, and you're absolutely right. For me, I've seen the original a couple of times. I used to have the VHS. That's how old that movie is. But just knowing what the original's about, what kind of themes it presents, the whole film of this remake, and all remakes really, is kind of held down by that, or at least on a crutch. Because I'm just waiting all like, when Michael Ealy, who has a very expressive face and does the very good kind of shocked but still in the real moment type of expression, right away I'm like, oh, okay, he's hallucinating now. Okay, let's move on with this hallucination. Where's the next one? Am I going to spot it first? Okay, this is a hallucination too, clearly. I wonder when that big twist is coming. Is this going to be the twist? No, okay, I'm still waiting for that twist. And that I'll take, and I'll admit that's kind of a failing on the me as a viewer, of course.
It's a bit of a struggle, but I think this movie, I think remakes can, I hate, and I don't like saying the word reboot because it's a fucking remake, let's just be real. But I think that remakes can go one of three ways. They can either be a page by page copy. They can rely on differentiating themselves by, honing in on their present, on the time that their movie is set in, usually current times, or they can just be completely different altogether and be a remake only in spirit. And I think that this is where that movie falls into that last category, because this movie is so totally its own. Really, the only thing that's retained is the message, I think, of the effects of war, the cost of war on the psyche, depending on each individual psyche. And I think that's where the movie's real credibility lies. It does take its time to go ahead and explore what the price that is paid in that sense. Which is really what makes the original so great as well. And I love that this wasn't a remake just for a remake's sake. It didn't feel that way. Although I will say it is a huge victim of editing. Like this thing feel it's this thing's only an hour and 20 minutes. There's enough in there where you feel like you have a whole complete story, but I feel like maybe I don't know, maybe they got too nervous. Maybe there's one too many test screenings. I know this changed studio. This was originally meant to be like a big screen studio release,
Oh, wow.
and it was delayed a number of times. It was supposed to come out. The last time I heard of it was coming out was back in February, and it was still up until that point a studio release. But yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know. This is a remake I think where that really works, but I'm ashamed. I'm afraid that people are just dismissing it. Gonna be dismissing it.
No, and I can understand that also. It's a cult classic as well. I'm not sure the first time this ran through, it did very well up until
No.
the tape sales and the You know, yeah. He always had that friend outside the video shop, kind of seemed like a drug dealer, but really he was like, oh man, so you rented that? You're going to need some real good shit if you want to rent a film like that. You want to see Jacob's Ladder, or, you know, you want to see Videodrome, or, you know, that guy was always giving the weird tips.
Oh, yeah.
The cult classics. See Army of Darkness, director's cut, what? You
know? No, for sure. And in fact, you know, I mean, the only reason that movie got made was it was directed by Adrian Lyne, and Adrian Lyne's previous film before this, before that one, was Fatal Attraction, which was like a monster hit, and so that, I'm sure that gave him the cachet to sort of, you know, say I want to make Jacob's Ladder, and that's really the only reason that was actually, you know, that was a studio film.
Oh, wow,
Jacob's Ladder was a studio film, and so. Yeah, but it was definitely a film that they just dumped, and it was the word of mouth and the, you know, the bravery of the message, because people weren't really talking about PTSD, and let alone to have it as a subject of a film.
Sure, they did that.
Yeah, and then the batshit crazy visuals. I mean, the lizard tail and everything. I mean, I know we're talking about like the original too much. I feel, but I think we can't just. I think with the case of the remake, it was also a struggle because it's still not, for lack of a better term, a sexy subject matter.
Yeah.
It's something that does have some substance to it and is quite serious and is still quite prevalent. But I think this version does right by making it a bit of a mind trip. So that the message is there, but it just washes over you. It doesn't really. There is only like one scene toward the end where it really, you are like, it becomes like a message movie in that one scene. But for the most part, it becomes a sort of like, you know, mind trippy Wonderland experience that's rooted in, you know, the darkness of the psyche, the post-war psyche.
Oh, absolutely. You know, like you said before, the spiritual themes, I think they connect. And maybe they connect a little better now that we're living in a time where people are more willing to discuss PTSD and things of that nature. Maybe not to its full extent, because the full extent, of course, is a horrifying nightmare. Mm-hmm. I know that a film Miles Teller was in, I don't even remember what it was called, but it failed on the reality of the situation because it only kind of scratched the surface of it.
Thank you and for the real service, memoirs, I think it was.
Yeah. The real memoirs of those men involved are nightmare fuel. But, you know, baby steps are always a good thing. I did like how this film brought in the problem with the opioid crisis and how that is connected to a lot of veterans. Because a lot medicine given can cause severe addiction. But also you don't want to help people, but then are these big pharmaceutical companies just becoming a different kind of drug dealer to the sick?
Yeah,
it's very terrifying.
That's been something that's been labeled at them for years now, and it's only going. That claim's only getting stronger, and this movie is like proof positive of that. No question. But you know, it is serious. It is a serious film, but it's also. It is a thrill ride as well. Like the construction of it, and as much as was probably taken out, it is very well paced, and it does have its nice twists and turns, which do for the most part surprise, even if you have seen the original, you know, which I think is a credit to the filmmakers behind this one. That, you know, they did want to, you know, tell their own story.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, with the same themes, and I think they pulled it off for the most part. And it also helps that they've got a really great performance from Michael Ealy. I think this is one of the best things I've seen him in a long time. And it's, you know, it's a lot of it. A lot of his performance is playing. Vulnerable, and I don't know how could you play just vulnerable, different levels of vulnerability for an entire film, and he manages to do that consistently throughout, and you never once does this performance feel stale or false or forced.
Yeah, he's one of those actors I thought would have been huge.
I know.
Him and Carl Urban were in a show years ago. I don't even know how many years ago, man, but it was called Almost Human. I loved it. Watched it every week, and then Fox canceled it. Womp womp. And I thought, you love a show.
You think, I love this. It's so great. It's going to be gone. It's not going to last.
Yeah. Well, I've always thought Carl Urban would be a huge star as well. And
hopefully this
is the year of Ely and Urban, as Urban has the boys now. And I'm hoping Ely gets thrown into the big limelight as well by, maybe not Jacob's Ladder, but he keeps his IMDb page is pretty full, as we said. So I think he'll get his due as A-lister eventually.
Yeah. Not wanting for work, which is good.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But
we're about ready to head into our final thoughts here. You got anything?
Yeah, I really hope that this is never going to reach the sort of like acclaim and fondness that the original has gotten in the years since from cinephiles. But I'm pretty sure that those who see it will, for the most part, embrace it for its pluses. You know, it's tough because the shadow of the original and the power of the original is always going to be looming in the background, but there is enough here for this version of Jacob's Ladder to stand on its own merit. And, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe this will be a cult classic in the future. But right now it's unfortunate that this has been shuffled around, that this is now on the VOD dumping ground. There have been hopefully, you know, I mean, I wish more belief on behalf of the studios, on behalf of the, you know, the audiences, but this movie exists and it's a good film. It's a good movie. You know, who knows what will happen with this, but I'm glad I saw it. I'm glad I experienced it. I gotta give this 7.5. I would have given it higher had it not been for the editing. Best friends who you probably shouldn't trust.
Well, I agree, and it'll probably mirror a lot of what you've just said. I'm a big Michael Ealy fan. I really think that his film should be supported just so we can see more of him. Jesse Williams, I think, is probably one of the most gorgeous top 10 actors right now.
They're competing for most gorgeous eyes in this film, to be honest with you.
It definitely bonded them as brothers. Like, they don't really look that alike. And then you see their eyes and go, oh, okay, maybe that's weird.
Anyways.
But enjoyed the performances very much. I think that's where this excels. Since I already kind of knew the mystery, since I'm a butt and remember films that I've seen, the spiritual remake, and was expecting a twist and just kind of guessed at it the whole time. That's my fault as a viewer. So I'm not really going to blame the film for that. Yeah. I did like the callbacks it had to the original, though they were very subtle at times. You know, that's always pretty neat. I think the message is a good one, but I'm even afraid to talk about it, you know, since I've seen The Constant Gardener. Go watch that movie as well, everybody. It's horrifying. So I'm like, the pharmaceutical companies, and then I'm thinking, would any of them actually listen to one of us? I think they're great. They're great. I love them. So, just going to jump right into the review here. Until I ramble too much, I'm going to give this 7 rungs on a 10-foot ladder.
Oh, nice. Perfect.